So we have some of the most interesting, unique, and amazing meditations, I think, in the world. I mean, we have past life regression meditations, guided hypnosis meditations, Akashic record meditations, as well as healing meditations. Our meditations are pretty cool. And they're not just about stillness of mind and peace and sit there. I mean, we have those too. Don't get me wrong, but these are about meditations that are going to shift and change, and you're going to walk out of there feeling lighter, freer, healed, and even getting guidance and insight. So come down, experience one of our meditations. They're pretty badass.
Hi, this is Christina Dam, and this is Liberate the Podcast, where we educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness.
Hi there, welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Kundalini and specifically the Kundalini activation process. And so today we have one of their facilitators, Alexandra Michelle, with us, and we're going to not only talk about this process, but I want us to talk a little bit about Kundalini because I think a lot of people don't really know what it is, or they might have heard the word but don't have a full basis of it, and hear a little bit about this beautiful lady and why she even got into it. So welcome.
Thanks so much.
Let's start with a little bit of maybe hearing about your spiritual journey and how you got involved with Kundalini, and then how you got involved with CAP specifically. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so let's hear it.
Okay. Sounds good. So starting since I was a really small child, I've had a bit of an existential bent. And I've always known somehow, somewhere, deep in my heart, that there was more to this existence than meets the eye. Mm. And so I was drawn, even as a little tiny child, to seek beyond what my parents had told me and what my upbringing was telling me about the nature of the world and life and humanity and mankind, and especially beyond the answers that religion was giving me, because I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that was really the only basis of a representation of spirituality. And there's even a little bit of a taboo around anything mystical or esoteric. And yeah. So that kind of pointed an arrow right at the spaces that I was meant to look, you know, looking back on my life now, I see that design. So I was reading any kind of philosophical or spiritual book that I could get my hands on, and I was actually reading quite classical Taoist literature even as young as like high school and middle school. And even when I was a really small child, I noticed that the world mythologies corresponded to stories in the Bible.
Interesting.
So I had all of these big questions about life.
Okay.
Forever.
So you had these big questions about life, and, you know, you were sharing with me earlier that there was even a period of time, though, that you even went atheist. So, you know, where was that, like, you know, when was that, and how did you make that switch? Because here's this really spiritual child, very spiritual teenager, and then suddenly it's like, I don't believe in anything.
Well, it was really more of a rebellion against what everybody had told me that God is and the parameters around what spirituality meant.
Okay.
And I woke up to astrotheology.
Okay.
So that is pointing to astrological phenomena that corresponds with especially the myths in the Bible, but even mythologies throughout the world. So in my mind, you know, I said, it was a primitive culture making up a story to suit what they saw going on in the sky. And it allowed me to, it was a little bit of a rebel spirit that was seeking to come forward in me. But that was when I was in college. That was when I was 18, 19 years old, 20 years old. And I think that part of my story is important and part of my design, because when I was older and going through round one of, you know, one layer of the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Round one. I like how you say that.
Round one.
That is how many rounds are there? You know?
I mean, I don't even want to quantify it at this point. I don't want to tempt fate any more than it already is, not to be superstitious.
But if anybody's listening, the laughter and the lightheartedness about saying that, though, you know, so, you know, it's not, you know, when you enter into a spiritual, like, kind of process, life path, journey, as you go through these, you know, uncovering or onion peels or circle around or dark nights of the soul or whatever you want to call it.
It's a spiral, you know, but you spiral up like this.
Yes. And so you think that you're going backwards, but you're really, you're climbing.
Sure.
It just
feels, of course.
It just feels like you're going down a little bit. It feels like the whole world's crumbling, but I like that you say it with laughter. So keep on going. So round one.
Sure, absolutely. So my experience of what I would call then atheism was actually the perfect contrast to wake me up out of my first true dark night experience, because in the depth of that despair, the divine came knocking on my door, and my recognition of a benevolent presence, a loving, graceful force.
Okay, so I got to know what happened.
It brought me to tears.
But what was this? Like, is this, you were sitting in your apartment house, whatever?
So I think, you know, when I was graduating from college, I had my initial awakening where I realized that I am the only one responsible for my life. And I had a complete ego death, where before I didn't realize that my whole sense of being good, being safe, was dependent upon doing what my parents expected of me, doing what society expected of me, showing up to my classes. I was a straight A student, getting straight A's. I had followed the course, and suddenly this course ran out, and I was terrified because I was so free. I had nothing. I had no body now telling me what to do. And it was a complete nervous breakdown. And I was cast into the depths of despair. And I recognize it echoed in, like, what Jung calls the shamanic descent. And it was so abundantly clear to me now that I've, you know, traveled a little bit, and I see the, and I've talked to other people, and done all of my reading and research, that's what was happening for me. And so there was so many synchronicities that led me to discovering Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm.
So we can we be, like, completely free and frank on this place?
Oh, yeah,
we can talk about everything, right? Okay, great.
Yeah.
So the truth is, I had been reading the Tao Te Ching.
Okay.
And that was, like, my anchor point, my saving grace. And it made so much sense to me. But I had not touched that experientially, right? It was purely logical.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a proper adult when I took acid for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And it was in that trip that I realized the Tao is real. It showed me the Tao, and it was so abundantly clear to me what I was seeing. But because I had that reference point, I realized that it wasn't the drug, it was
your mind,
my mind, my consciousness, just being facilitated by a substance in that moment to reach that vista point. So that was, like, a peak experience. And then later on, when I came back into my normal course of life, I was, I crashed into the book Remember, Be Here Now by Ram Dass.
Okay.
And what that book taught me was that, you know, Ram Dass awoke through his trips, through LSD, but then he realized that you could achieve those states of consciousness through meditation.
Yeah.
So there was some deep part of my consciousness that decided then and there that I would be able to have that experience for myself, touch those states of awareness through meditation alone. And so, you know, what I recognize now is that we make these decisions. We make these pivotal life-changing decisions and we don't even know we're doing it. It's not conscious. It's part of our dharma. It's part of our path. And then that brings about the course of your life.
Yeah.
And so...
And people don't realize, it's like you can suddenly plant this tree that you don't even know that you're planting, and it's growing and growing and growing, and before you know it, you're like, oh, where did that come from?
And then you arrive.
You know, or you force you down this different course. It's like two marbles, you throw them down, and if they just tilt a little bit, they're going to go to a completely different destination.
Yeah. So my path, according to my perspective, is one of mystery and grace.
Okay.
It's not a lot of me willpowering my way into this. It was clearly part of my journey and my unique.
Yeah.
You know, we want to use the word destiny. And of course I see myself playing a role in the deciding factors that the destiny then.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere deep in my heart, I said, well, if I can experience these states of awareness through meditation alone, then that's what's going to happen. And it was probably with, you know, shorter than a year after that, that there was an opening for me to move out to LA.
Okay.
And I had no prior intent to move out to LA, but when the opportunity arose, my whole beingness went, yes, let's do it. And normally I would be quite timid and fearful and measured and try to plan and you know, it's that version of me back then would have been, but for some reason there was no hesitation and I leapt and I came out to LA and, the transition was really difficult. I was led to another layer of the dark, of what I would call the dark night and enormous challenges that brought out this kind of fierce tenacity inside of me and also it initiated me on my surrender course because life out here in LA for me has been one rug swept out from under my feet after another until I realized that it's grace doing it every time. And if I can just relax and trust and allow for my, you know, human, egotistical, trying to plan everything, you know. Yeah. And so we hear about all of these concepts in a lot of different sources and teachers and books. And it's quite ubiquitous, this information. But I've lived it. And it's definitely been my experience. So then you're...
You come out to LA.
Yeah.
Besides having the rug kind of just pulled under you.
Yeah.
You know, what was that experience and where did that lead you into? Okay, so prior to even coming out to LA, you're meditating and you're reaching these.
I'm not at all.
Oh.
No.
Oh, just you made up the point that you knew that you could.
But I didn't know it consciously. It was something deep subconscious in my heart where I said, I'm so interested in that. That lights me up inside. But I never knew that it was actually possible.
Got you. Okay. So then where do you find that or stumble upon it in LA?
Well, great question. So at this point, you know, I don't know this at the time, but I'm being initiated. I'm being prepared. I'm being given this experience of relaxing, letting go, jumping into the flow, trial by fire, fierce grace, catapulting me into this place where I was finally opening to metaphysical style spirituality.
Okay.
And I received Reiki for the first time, and I had a really profound energetic experience. And that was probably my first distinctly supra-normal
experience. Okay.
And so I went with that Reiki practitioner to a breathwork class. And this was like the first time I'd ever done any of this stuff. Completely new, not in the scene. I didn't know. I was just, you know, fascinated and
I like that the spirituality delighted. Has a scene.
Of course it does. Yeah, you know what I mean. Especially in LA. Yeah, there's a community.
I just teasing. I'm like, the scene.
The scene. Yeah, the scene. Yeah.
Got into the cool clubs. I got into the good meditations.
The scene. But I had never meditated at all in my life at this point.
Wow.
So I was brought to this point where I was in this breathwork class, and I met a woman named Lola Listener. And she was talking about her experience with breathwork, and she mentioned her meditation practice, the kind of meditation that she facilitates, and invited me to come. Because after she shared, I went, I've been interested in starting to meditate, and that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But I hadn't put two and two together by any means. So she described, you know, having a metaphysical, mystical experience in her meditation. And I wasn't thinking about Ram Dass, you know?
Yeah.
So I came to her class, and she facilitated this kind of mystical meditation where I experienced all of the psychedelic experiences that Ram Dass describes through his meditation practices. So I had arrived at this practice. So
and your first meditation out of the gate.
First meditation out of the gate, and I took to it like a duck to water. And since then, I practiced with her teachers in LA for around 5 years.
Wow.
Going into deep states of, it is like a form of samadhi.
Okay.
But arrived through a transmission.
Okay.
And not through the traditional, you know, eight limbs of yoga where you build to it you know, a lifetime, right?
Yeah. Or many lifetimes.
Or many lifetimes. Well, and who knows about all the different lifetimes that had a, you know, I don't know. I can't say that for sure. But one could theorize. And so I practiced with her teachers for quite some time, and I think the easiest way to talk about it is that in the traditional sense, it's a form of Raja Yoga.
Okay, so what is Raja Yoga for those?
So through my existential inquiry, what I've arrived at is that we're all here to move towards enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us are on a course over many lifetimes to achieve that. So a real simple way of thinking about it is if your goal for this lifetime is healing your physical body, you practice Hatha Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal in this lifetime is to heal your emotional body, you practice Bhakti Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
If your goal is to heal your mind, you practiced Jnana Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a certain level of mastery over that, whether you kind of realize it or not, then you start cultivating the bliss body outside of the realm of normal human consciousness, and that's Raja Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So it's energetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you're practicing, you're going, you're deep diving, and you know, what are some of the experiences and the things? And then like, let's go back. So what your teacher, this class that you first got introduced to, first meditation, was this a form of this Kundalini activation process?
It's not.
Okay.
No, it's completely different. Okay. So that's kind of the preparation, and that's kind of what led me, I think, to be able to be in a position to then facilitate CAP.
Okay. Yeah. So what type of meditation was this that she was doing?
It's not really documented.
Okay.
It's kind of renegade, rogue, like against the traditional rules, So, in the mystery schools, there's like an initiation process, and that's not really relevant in the Western world, and it's not really relevant in this day and age.
Yeah.
But in the ancient mystery schools, there were levels of initiation, and this is like a level of initiation.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, in my experience, again, it's like, for whatever reason, my lovely soul chose this path of fierce grace. And so it really has been like rapid transformation, rapid refinement, you know, going through the layers really quickly, burning up karmas so rapidly, at least for me, at least in my own timeline. I can't compare it to anybody else's timeline, but
yeah.
But so
what
it would
are
seem...
some of those other things that people like when they're because any type of spiritual path you are going on, you know, I look at it like a conveyor belt that starts coming towards you, you know?
Absolutely.
And so it's like, okay, you're going to get hit many, many times because you're making a conscious effort to say, okay, we're all spiritually evolving.
Yes.
So it's like, if we go to what you were saying and saying, like, the goal of in our lifetime or many lifetimes is to reach that state of enlightenment, we're all working towards it, whether we're in the dark about it or whether we're in the light about it, right?
Totally. You know?
Yeah. But when we consciously make a choice and we say, not only am I aware and I want this, we're actually putting our energetic force towards creating it. And it comes faster, stronger, more powerful. And, you know, it's a little intense.
Yeah, it can be.
It can be. Yeah. But, you know, then if the point at the end of the day is to, you know, reach that level of enlightenment, you have to go through these processes anyways, and you say, might as well hit it all at once.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, especially if you find yourself in a lifetime where we're blessed to live in this day and age.
This day and age, in this time, in this country, in this whatever social economic standpoint
precisely.
That you're blessed with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it, three billion people on the planet live on less than $2.50 a day.
Yeah.
3 billion. We only have 7.2 billion people on the planet. So almost 50% of the whole population lives on less than $2.50 a day. So, you know, there's a lot to it as saying, like, you know, there's a blessing in spiritual karma of even being able to not worry about things and not bathe with a cold bucket, you know?
Like, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm blessed to be in this position. I'm not in the dark about that by any means.
But I'm saying everybody.
Everybody who's here, I'm hoping you hear that. Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter whether you're just starting out or not. You're really not just starting out because you wouldn't even be blessed with the circumstances.
To practice, to choose to practice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
To have the time, the ability, the
resources.
You know, the comfort. The
guidance.
To be listening to this podcast right now. You know, that's a form of you're on some form of path. Otherwise, you wouldn't have even found us, right?
Absolutely.
You know? Okay, so you're doing all this 5 years in.
Yeah.
You know, kind of being like, I'm deep diving.
Ooh, yeah.
You know? and then... Where is it that you're finding going from this meditation type of practice in your spiritual process to Kundalini specifically?
Yeah, sure. So, kind of two answers to that. So the first is it wasn't a strict thing, but it was clear that my time with those teachers was done.
Hmm.
And we're still, you know, we still care about each other. We still are in good standing. But it was really obvious that I had another teacher that was coming forward.
It's kind of like a relationship. You ever get to a point where it's just like, okay, you guys, and you know, you can still love them.
Yeah.
And you still care about them. But you're like, we are different. And I need to go and experience something else, right? You know?
Right. Well, there was something else coming forward to be experienced.
Yeah.
And
just giving people that analogy, because maybe not everybody has experienced having a teacher per se, but I think everybody that's listening has had a relationship that you feel that you've outgrown at a certain point.
Absolutely. It's a perfect analogy.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So.
Definitely. So, and then secondly, you know, I'd been, pr- I'd been, I'd, I'd had a Kundalini awakening since 2014.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're having mystical states of awareness, or if you have a certain intuitive understanding of spiritual concepts, or if you're just kind of metaphysically, like, aware the way that people are aware of Newtonian physics, it's just intuitive, then you have a degree of Kundalini awakening already.
Mm-hmm.
It is the energy that starts to open up our psychic centers, our energy centers, and especially the upper chakras. Mm-hmm. And so that is when you start having spiritual interest anyways.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different things. So I'd been practicing with the energy of Kundalini during my whole course with my prior teachers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I received transmissions and initiations from those teachers.
Okay.
Prior. However, when I got involved with CAP, I experienced this format that's so gentle, so divinely guided, so well measured,
mm-hmm.
For each individual. And then the class format makes it easy to practice in a group, easy to, and it's accessible.
Yeah.
So it was a whole other format of introducing these elements of, like, Raja yoga practices. And so when it's a continuum, you know, it's like Hatha on up, but it's also if you start to practice with in the Raja level, then it starts to affect your other practices. It facilitates the healing of the emotional body. It facilitates the healing of the mental body and the physical body as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a class. So Venet Wong is the founder and I wouldn't say creator, but the founder of the CAP modality.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he would call himself a transmission vehicle.
Okay.
And he would allow us to call ourselves transmission vehicles as well. He would encourage us to call ourselves transmission vehicles as well. And so he transmits raw Kundalini. So if you come to a class, then it's the path of surrender, not the path of will. So Tai Chi and Qigong and Kundalini yoga, other forms of pranayama and visualization to cultivate your energy, that's all something that you're sitting there and doing, whether you are being guided or whether you have a teacher teaching you and you're learning. That's something that you yourself are attempting to move your energies in order to facilitate higher states of consciousness, in order to release blockages, in order to
Shift, change,
expand, progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the intention of most spiritual practices to stimulate and raise the Kundalini.
Yeah.
And I think, especially in the previous age, it was really difficult to do this. That's why you had to be initiated into a mystery school and they went into a pyramid and shut themselves away or in the top of a mountain so that they could focus and do everything. But what I'm noticing now and what I've gleaned and been told is that we're in the new age. Mm-hmm. These energies are more fluid, they're more accessible, more people on Earth are holding these frequencies, and so collectively these energies are more available. And so relative lay people are able to be trained to be transmitters of this energy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so now you said that, you know, kind of this act of surrender. So
what happens,
you know, so like, okay, so anybody else is like, you know, the experience of, okay, yeah, they get it. They have done yoga or they've done breath work or they've done different things. Mm-hmm. They can kind of grasp, you know, what they're doing, or maybe people have taken a Kundalini yoga class and stuff like that. This is different. This is, you're surrendering. So tell me what happens.
Yeah, sure. Totally. So, have you ever heard of Shaktipat?
Yeah.
So this is a form of Shaktipat.
So people that don't know what Shaktipat is, it's a transfer of energy normally from some kind of guru or saint and into a disciple or a person, right? Mm-hmm. You know.
And it's for the purpose of awakening their consciousness, for the purpose of awakening their kundalini. Mm-hmm. Most, it doesn't always have to be a transmission of kundalini. It can be different frequencies of energy, but generally it's the kundalini. And because once you get the kundalini going, then a kundalini awakened body is the bridge to non-dual states of consciousness, to samadhis and higher states of consciousness. So if you come to a class, you will literally lie down on a yoga mat.
Okay.
And close your eyes and receive.
That's it?
That's it.
So you just have to come and you get activated, aligned, awakened, and spiritual energy through you. You just show up.
Correct. So we play some music. There's a playlist.
Oh, you guys, this is like great. You don't do anything. I mean, most of the time it's work. I mean, even when I take like, you know, certain classes and stuff like that, even like one of my favorite things to do is go to breathwork classes. Yeah. It's work.
It's like, work. Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
you know,
yeah, it's a, that's the path of will. And so another distinction is in the past era, it's been very masculine. It's been very action oriented. It's been very doing oriented. But if you really get into like the Taoist literature, the Taoist path says, you know, act without doing, work without effort. It's more balanced. It's more receptive.
Okay, so how does somebody get? You know, it's just like so. You're sending the energy to them, or you know,
correct.
I just want people to get awareness of what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. So this is such a like a roundabout story. I love it. So so I went to the class with Venant. I experienced his transmission. I experienced a different transmission in a way that was so graceful, loving, kind, and accessible compared to what I'd been through before. And I realized this is it. Because I've had a calling to facilitate mystical states of awareness. I believe that, you know, spiritual seekers, spiritually inclined people spend so much time trying to access these states of awareness. And there's no narrative in our culture that tells us, well, you kind of have to be initiated. Mm. You don't have to be initiated. But in my experience, that's the only way that I've experienced being able to achieve these states of consciousness is having the transmission, having the sharing of the energy. It's like a candle lighting the flame of another candle.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that analogy.
Yeah, thanks. So, so I went to that class, and what I didn't realize then was that I was dealing with a low-grade depression. Mm. And for me, you know, the depression had an emotional component, but it was really just stagnating, dense energy.
Yeah.
Even though I'd been doing all of this Raja Yoga, all of these self-willed practices, even though I had all of this experience, right? Mm-hmm. So the next day I woke up, no depression. I woke up effortlessly at 7 o'clock in the morning and I had ideas about what I wanted to do with my day. I had creative ideas. My mind was focused. My body was immensely pain-free.
Wow.
And during that first class, I didn't move a muscle. I just had subtle sensations of like electromagnetism and a little bit of like a purple, you know, experience in my third eye. Didn't move a muscle during that first class. So that was on a Saturday. He lives in Bali. He's been traveling. He's been world traveling in order to give people this transmission because it's such a part of his dharma. It's a part of his calling and people love it and he feels the need to serve. I went the next day on Sunday. And then throughout the rest of my day, I felt the purring energy in my lower three chakras. So until that time, I'd been super, super out of my body, astral traveling, you know, super out of my body to the place where I, you know, I was caught up in these existential dilemmas of, well, this world is just a dream and it doesn't really matter what I'm doing here. Mm. Thoughts that were on a metaphysical level, potentially true, but not serving me.
Because you're having a physical experience as right now, you know. That's what happens to a lot of people when they first start getting, like, you know, kind of Kundalini syndrome, you know, it's this detachment of reality and, you know, so I'm glad that this has actually gave you the opposite effect of that because you see that a lot, you know.
So what's unique about this transmission is that all of Venant's practices and training is a part of the transmission. He comes from martial arts and dance background. Mm-hmm. So this particular transmission is extremely visceral. Mm. Fully in the body. And so, you know, because I was aware of my energetic anatomy and I had, you know, all of this experience with Raja Yoga, I knew what was happening to me. Mm. I knew that my Kundalini syndrome was stabilizing, correcting, and my life just started to improve after two classes.
Wow.
So then I had the opportunity to go down to San Diego and take the immersion weekend where I spent two more days with him. And after that, I knew I wanted to do the training.
Wow.
So in June, I went through the training in San Francisco where we just, we really did like martial arts again, drills with him and with each other, just doing session after session after session after session in order to be able to transmit the energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like making you a little power generator, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. And so it is a transpersonal energy with intelligence.
Ah.
And so part of the beauty of this practice is I don't have to try. I don't have to do anything except for get out of the way.
That's beautiful.
And allow for it to come through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you did. You worked well, up your body, your channel to be able to be the conduit for it's like, okay, you know, you turn on a faucet. If the pipe's only this big, this much water's coming out. Yeah. If the pipe's big, a lot of water's coming out, you know, like you got to make the pipe big and you made the pipe big.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And so by coming to class, we're making your pipes increasingly bigger and bigger and bigger to support this spiritual, divine, transpersonal energy.
Amazing. And how often are these classes? How often should people go? Like,
it's a practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ideally, I would say come once a week.
Okay.
Come once a week. If you are a dedicated, sincere practitioner, especially if it's somebody who's interested in achieving these higher states of consciousness, like if all of this information has made sense to you, this practice is for you. That being said, you don't need to know anything. And some of the people that have the most profound transformations are those that know nothing.
Wow.
So some of my favorite students are like 65-year-old engineers.
Yeah, but they were called to it, right?
But some level, yeah.
You know,
of course.
And I always feel like there's
so much more than that facade of an engineer.
Like you just said, if you're drawn to this information, if you're sitting here, if you're having that awareness, there aren't any
there's no mistakes.
There's the synchronicities of life are like the magic moments that if you follow those paths, like, you know, a friend from college telling you to move, you know, and there's a room available and you're pulling yourself and saying, okay, yeah, this feels right. Or, you know, a spark of interest to show up at a class that you have no basis or knowledge about it. It's not really a coincidence.
Right.
You're at the right place at the right time to facilitate whatever that next moment, journey, or awareness in your life is, right?
And so, and another part of the power of this particular practice is it is teaching people to receive.
Yeah.
Because that's a muscle we have not collectively exercised in a long time, and it is just as powerful, just as productive, just as relevant, if not maybe more so, than the more traditionally practiced masculine aspect of doing, right? You have to have the yin the yang and the yin.
See, I need this. It's always like, man, me allowing somebody to do something for me or receiving. Whew. So this sounds great. And how long are the classes? How long are this whole process?
So the classes tend to be about 2.5 hours all together, but the session itself lasts for 1 hour.
Okay.
So there's, in time for introduction and questions, meet and greet. I like to build a community vibe, so we all say hello to each other.
Yeah.
And then the session is 1 hour, and then there's a little bit of a share afterwards.
I like that.
Yeah.
1 hour of receiving this energy,
yes,
and then 1.5 hours extra with the class. And, you know, how many, like, CAB facilitators are there, and how, you know, is it people that are in LA, they can find it.
Yes.
But is this other places in the US?
It is. Yes, it is. So there were 20 participants in the US facilitator training. Three of those people were international.
Oh, nice.
So they flew in to attend from Norway, from Australia, and from Taipei.
Wow.
And so there's also been, I think, 2 other trainings in Europe. So altogether, there's around 60 facilitators globally. And then there are facilitators in San Francisco, San Diego, and then there's 4 facilitators in Los Angeles. Myself and 2 others are practicing, holding classes. And then the 4th one holds classes with us and also facilitates individually, one-on-one.
Now, you shared that one of the things that happened to you after going to 2 sessions was you realized that you were in an unknown mild depression that lifted as a result of these 2 classes.
Yeah.
Can we share, besides people that are just, you know, about, you know, because a lot of human motivation in the, you know, 3D plane is the WIIFM, right? What's in it for me? What kind of effects do I experience?
Sure,
and, you know, so besides the spiritual growth and development, what are some of the other effects that happen as a result to coming to classes? And what do you kind of see as a basis? Like, okay, I noticed this with people that kind of come to, you know, a few classes, people that come longer kind of have experienced this, just to give people a basis about why they might be motivated to show up.
For sure. So, I'll give you specifics.
Okay. That's awesome.
And I'll give you specifics, and it's a holistic improvement.
Yeah.
People go to see an acupuncturist 2x a week in order to balance their energy system to get better. This is accomplishing something very similar. You're balancing your energy system. So one of the most common is that people feel more calm. That detachment that we read about all the time happens automatically, effortlessly. People report just not caring, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Not being nitpicky, not worrying about being stuck in traffic. Like, imagine just being like peaceful and zen in traffic. You're like, this is all in divine timing, and really experiencing that in their heart.
Especially in LA.
People experience a heart opening that allows them to be more genuine and authentic with people. And I've known many people aligning with their friend, tribe, soulmate, romantic partner as a result of this. What this energy really does, so it's a downward descending force that comes in through the crown chakra all the way down to the root and then starts
going back up again.
Exactly. So it aligns your heart and your higher self so that people are effortlessly aware of what is in alignment for them and not. It melts your fear structures. So people are saying, you know what, I hate this job and I'm gonna start doing what I love. And that really happens.
Yeah.
That's very common. People start singing in public where before they were ashamed or inhibited. So it's a lot of inhibition removal. You know, one of the biggest things for me was a feeling of vitality. true, genuine vitality. I am up, inspired, focused. Almost every day. I mean, it's not perfect. I have my moments.
We live in a world of contrast. You have to, right?
True, and it's part of the cycle,
yeah,
you know?
Especially, that's what I mean.
Yeah, especially being a woman. Like, you're not supposed to be, like, all the time. And if you are, that's great. No judgment. This feeling of vitality, feeling of confidence, feeling of clarity and centeredness, and then meditation becomes exceedingly easier,
yeah,
as well.
Okay, so overall it sounds like better alignment with yourself, right?
Yes.
A truth to your heart and your connection,
yes.
Eradicating fear,
yeah.
Judgment, criticism, lack, whatever that may be,
yeah.
And stepping forward to that heart space. So, I mean, like, who doesn't want that? And you're not doing anything, you're just laying there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like the fruit of all spiritual practice is Kundalini activation.
Mm-hmm. It's just different forms and ways of getting there, right?
Precisely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where can people find you and where do you facilitate out of? I mean,
yeah.
We're going to have you here.
I'm here for two weeks in the month of November. And, you know, it is my goal to deeply serve a community. So if I can see people come again, either, you know, I think ideally every week, every other week, once a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it'll be different for everybody. The,
yeah.
You know, how quickly they want to jump in and how deeply. So that's me asking for, like, more classes in the future.
Yeah, you know, we got you covered.
Especially if people like it.
I think people will like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what about websites, social handles, anything like that to find you as well?
For sure. So I also facilitate out in Arcadia at Santa Anita Hot Yoga Studio. And I have regular classes there. So that's really awesome as well. And then, you know, I've just been operating out of my Facebook.
Nice.
For the most part. So if you look at on Facebook, Alexandra Michelle, you'll find me.
And we'll put the link down there, too.
And we'll put the link. And then if you want more information on Kundalini Activation Process, it's just www.kundaliniactivationprocess.com. That's Venant's site. All of the facilitators are listed there, and I'm listed there as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, anything else you'd like to share with everybody as, like, a final, like, thought, feeling?
Yes. You know, my final thought and feeling is I would just wholeheartedly encourage everyone to relax more. To trust more. If there is doubt, then that is your season, but don't believe it. And I'm so ridiculously blessed and honored to have arrived where I've arrived and to be able to facilitate this process for others and to continue to meet wonderful people and share and cultivate community, and I'm so excited to connect with everybody.
Aw, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
And I'm excited. I'm
Yay.
Excited to sit in on one of those classes or whole weekend or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Till next time.
If you enjoyed this conversation, like it, subscribe, and share it with your friends. If you want some more amazing resources on your path of liberation, head over to liberateyourself.com and sign up for our mailing list. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, at Liberate Hollywood, all one word, or Liberate Emporium, all one word. Until next time, liberate yourself.
If you're thinking that you want to take that action step, why wait? Book your session right now. Go to liberateyourself.com. Click on either Liberate Hollywood or Liberate Emporium. See our amazing practitioners and who resonates most with you. and then book a session via Skype, phone, or in person. We're here for you, and it's your time to start creating your life.